Hey everybody, this is Jeff Adams, and welcome to Radio Icebox, episode 17, the penultimate episode of this particular season, and this one, of course, is entitled Old Friends. Want to remind you before we get started with the show that our Patreon account is going great guns. If you'd like to support the Icebox Radio Theater and Radio Icebox, invite you to visit Patreon. Probably the easiest way is just visit our website, iceboxradio.org, and click on the Patreon link up across the top of the page, and consider even a dollar a month supporting the efforts we do here in the Icebox of the Nation. It makes a huge, huge difference. Let's go on with the show now. It's time for Old Friends on Radio Icebox.
Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance.
The Fifth Protocol is now in effect. The Fifth Protocol is now in effect.
Okay, Abby, turn it off.
The Fifth Protocol.
Dr. Graves, or whoever you are.
Yes?
What do you mean it's too late?
You can't mean it's seriously too late.
No, of course not.
Hold on, everyone. Dr. Graves?
Yes?
What are we facing out there?
I told you. The beings of thousands of bad people.
Beings? You mean like souls?
There's never been a quantifiable definition of a soul. So, I suppose, yes.
There are people in the meteorite.
Yes.
And they've been there for a long time?
40 years.
All right. So, who are you, exactly?
Sam, aren't we wasting time here?
Cody, hold your horses. Dr. Graves?
I suppose you could say I was a guard in the prison.
So, right now at this moment, I'm not actually speaking to Roger Graves, the man I've known my whole life.
Oh, he's here too. Hi, Sam. See?
What just happened?
I'm sorry. I can't do different voices.
Sam, we're wasting time.
Take it easy.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. And he's right. We are wasting time. Sam, is anyone under arrest?
More of a state of emergency right now. What's that thing on the lake look like?
Growing. But slowly. It looks like it'll take some time to get to town.
What can you tell us about it?
Among the inmates, there were several scientists. It does not surprise me that they accomplished this.
Yeah, but what is it?
Unless I miss my guess, it's kind of a stasis field. Within that dome, I'm fairly certain the beings in the rock can move about freely.
We'll see them?
Perhaps, but they'll most certainly see you. And this will lead to possessions.
How do you know this? How do you know that's their plan?
They tried it before. The Red Fog, remember?
Of course, but we didn't have any alien invasions that day.
But you did see something in it, didn't you?
What? Well, what did they see?
A gray-skinned alien, Sam, just like on X-Files.
One of the many species represented in their company. The Red Fog must have been an earlier attempt. This green dome looks much more promising.
You say you were a guard on this, whatever it was.
Guard would be close to accurate, yes.
Then where's the warden? Where are the other guards?
I am alone. I was dropped off to deal with this situation while the facility continued on its orbit. It's on the other side of the galaxy by now. They won't be back here for decades.
What was your mission exactly?
Stop them. Try and keep them contained if possible, but stop them above all. I was happy to let them remain in the rock, haunting Dr. Graves, doing little harm.
So, in other words, you sat there for 40 years doing nothing.
They had made little progress. But in this last year, so much has happened. The alien calling himself Rudiger was first, capturing Dr. Graves and taking him to their realm.
Wait, you mean Dr. Graves was inside the rock?
Yes. And before you ask, he has no memory of it. I believe that event was designed to prove a concept that you can transfer a body between dimensions. Next, the gypsy woman who appeared here and escaped via device. This was another huge advance.
Then Grandpa, whoever that guy was, walking around dead for weeks.
That was the final piece of the puzzle. Could they control the conscious minds of Earth humans to make them see things that weren't there? If they could do that, they can move freely among your people and commit any crime they wish.
So what's this dome business about? What are they doing now?
I believe they are going to envelop the town and everyone in it, and then they will have an assortment of bodies to choose from. After taking possession, they can move out into your world, and who knows what would come next.
Anything you can do to stop it?
Now? No. The device we built didn't detonate. It was a dud.
Well, that leaves one solution, then.
Blow up the town so they can't have it.
What? No!
Oh, sorry.
What's wrong with you? Scorched earth policy? Of course not.
I'm sorry. I'm just, jumpy.
We need to evacuate. You're saying these things need bodies?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, then we'll just deny them that. We get everyone out of town.
It is to our advantage that the rock splashed down in such a remote area.
Right. Cody, what do you think the status of the radio station is?
Now in effect. The fifth protocol is...
Not good.
You think the aliens are down there?
They can control the frequency from anywhere. They probably took over the station to serve as their communication system.
All right, that's job one. Get down to the station and see what you can do about shutting them out. Let's deny them their comm system.
Check.
Everybody else, we have to fan out and start knocking on doors. Tell people to head over to the falls, go to the cities, anywhere. Just get out of town.
What if they ask us why?
Point at the giant green dome and say it's, I don't know, a toxic spill or something.
What if they don't want to go?
Make them.
I'd like to, but I'm me.
Oh, boy.
Make a note of the problem cases, JJ. I'll go back and encourage them. I'll carry them if I have to.
It's important that no one remain in town. I think anyone who does could be, well, acquired.
Okay, then. Don't panic. Keep things moving, but moving calmly. I'll drive up to Beach Avenue. You guys start on South Lake. We'll both work toward the center of town. If people want to help, tell them to start knocking on doors, okay?
Okay.
Understood.
I can't stress enough that no one must remain in town.
And I can't stress enough that I agree with you. Let's go.
Time now for news headlines from the Radio Icebox newsroom. This is Dixon Ticonderoga reporting. The Icebox Police Department has made no comment when asked about the giant green dome that appears to be growing on Great Space Rock Lake. Police Chief Sam has assured Radio Icebox that everything is being done to assure that our community is perfectly safe, despite the terrifying events that loom above us like a black plague or a molten wave of red-hot lava death that... Sorry. In other news, the Minnesota Paranormal Researchers Association was called in to the County Historical Society this week to deal with what appeared to be a haunting at the County History Museum. County commissioners were skeptical at first that the trouble at the museum was, in fact, supernatural in nature, but few denied that the decrepit building, which has housed our county's historical artifacts and records for over 75 years, was becoming a distinctly unpleasant place to visit. Visitors reported feeling cold spots, lights being turned on and off while they were touring the building, and the main doors being locked right before their eyes during business hours. After a thorough investigation, however, the paranormal research group has announced that no spirit in the conventional sense of the word haunts the museum. The group instead pointed out that county historian Adolph O'Brien, the museum's only employee, frequently locks visitors outside, turns off lights while people are trying to view the exhibits, and extends an overall coldness to anyone attempting to visit, quote, his museum, unquote. When reached for comment, O'Brien hissed, scurried under a desk, and said that he would grind my bones to make his bread, unquote, if I ever came near his preciouses again. County commissioners suggest visitors should leave well enough alone and read about county history at the public library.
Do you think that's a...
The sound it makes? Yes.
How do you know?
Did you hear that before there was a giant green dome over the lake?
Oh, right.
Oh, we should split up.
What?
Just to take different sides of the street. You take the west side, I'll take the east. We'll be inside of each other the whole time.
Good, because I worry about you. I want to make sure you're safe.
Really?
Okay, fine. I'm worried about me. Happy?
Surprisingly, no.
Just stay close.
I'll be right over here.
Okay. I do worry about her. about me too. Is that so wrong?
Yes.
Hello. Yes. Hi. You're
that nice young man from the radio station, aren't you?
Yes. How did you know?
The open house last year. You gave such a nice speech about how radio has an important future in America.
Thank you.
Oh, it's all bullpucky, of course, but it was a very nice speech.
Thank you.
What can I do for you, young man?
You really don't think radio has a future?
Well, here, obviously, but we don't have a hell of a lot of choice, do we? Last time I visited my sister in St. Cloud, I was amazed at their internet. All my favorite programs on that, the YouTube.
Oh.
It's all right, dear. I like your station well enough.
Thank you.
It's just all of broadcasting will be buried under a ton of better choices soon.
Right.
Was there a reason you knocked on my door, dear?
Oh, right. You have to leave town.
Well, that seems like an extreme reaction. Everyone is entitled to an opinion, after all.
No, it's just, the police. Yes, they're ordering an evacuation. We all have to go.
What on earth for?
A toxic spill in the lake.
Well, I don't go swimming.
It's by order of the police, okay? I don't know why exactly. I just have to, you know, we all need to go.
Are you sure you talk on the radio for a living?
I don't know what to tell you. You just have to leave town. Go, the sister, St. Cloud. Go visit your sister in St. Cloud.
What?
Sorry, that is all. Sorry. Leave town. Thank you. Good night.
Oh, what was that all about?
That lady kind of caught me off guard.
I've knocked on 3 doors to your one. We have to speed this up.
I said I was sorry. I can't be ruthlessly efficient like you.
Well, you have to be. Just speed it up, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry, pushy, bossy.
What?
Nothing. I'm talking to myself. Or possibly the audience.
Well, hurry up.
I am hurrying. Stress is getting to me. I wish we could just go back to normal when things were just weird.
Hello, Jacob.
What?
It's been a long time.
Manny? Amanda Daniels?
I miss our talks in the teacher's lounge. Don't you?
I kind of seen someone. What are you doing here?
What are you doing here, running around town, playing cop? Not really your style, is it, Jacob?
I don't know.
Why don't you come inside, and we can talk?
I can't believe that, man. Everything takes too long. Everything is too complicated. Just knock on the door, tell them, and move on. Easy.
Hello, Abby.
What? Ben?
It's been a while.
Ben? When did you get back? What are you doing here? Why didn't you call me?
Don't know. Time wasn't right, I guess.
I can't believe it. I thought you were... I mean, they told us you were... lost.
Yeah.
Alaska.
Climbing Denali. Yeah.
Yeah.
Weather comes up fast on Denali. That was a bad night. Real bad.
Ben, you're dead.
Well, I'm here, aren't I?
Yeah. Yeah, you're here. JJ?
What?
What are you doing?
I'm talking to an old friend.
Meet me in the center of the street.
What?
The center of the street, JJ, now.
You coming in?
No, Ben. There's this emergency.
Be nice to catch up, though, wouldn't it?
I need to go.
Come on back. Anytime. Door's open.
Hi.
Hi.
You were talking to someone?
Yeah, an old friend.
You don't sound so sure.
Well, she was a... Okay, she was more than a friend. She taught math at my school. We were kind of sort of in engaged for a while.
Oh.
Thing is, I'm pretty sure she moved to Seattle.
Pretty sure?
Yeah. I seem to remember her sitting me down in the teacher's lounge, telling me she didn't love me and never had, needed a change in her life. I seem to remember that.
Okay.
It's vivid.
You were talking to her just now?
Yeah.
That make any sort of sense?
Nope, not at all. See, there's this other thing. She kind of had cancer.
Oh.
Seattle trip wasn't for a change. It was for treatment. I got word a year after she left. She didn't make it. The breakup, that was all a ruse. She was probably her way of sparing me.
Oh. So you were talking to a dead woman?
Yeah. Do you have any idea what that's like?
I think I do, yes. JJ?
Yes, Abby?
I'm not sure it's a good idea for us to be knocking on doors right now.
No?
No, I think that thing on the lake is beginning to have an effect on our minds. We're seeing things.
You're seeing things?
Yeah, there was this boy named Ben. We were together one incredible summer. Really, really intense summer. And then he left to climb the Seven Peaks.
Everest?
He didn't get that far. He started on Mount Denali in Alaska. Weather comes up fast on Mount Denali.
Right. Abby?
What?
We have to knock on doors. We have to warn people.
I know.
But let's not split up from now on, okay?
No. Let's not split up.
Here are some events of event interest for event goers in the Icebox event going community. The Icebox Summer Concert Series has announced its lineup for this year, featuring Downtown Doug and the Downbeats on the 4th of July. The Duluth band, popular as Therapy for chronically manic people, will bring their special brand of techno, death metal, dance polka to town for the third straight year. Describing themselves as a suicide note in musical form, Downtown Doug is hoping for a repeat of last year's show when over half the audience left, and those that remained lay comatose on the grass for several hours, questioning their love for their spouses. All concerts in the series will be held at Alien Beach, with donations to go to Last Chance, a Make-A-Wish Foundation for healthy adults. With the Stanley Cup playoffs underway, the Icebox Public Library and Municipal Liquor Store is holding their annual Playoff Beard Contest with all proceeds to benefit the Children's Collection. Last year's champion, Daryl Esposito, began growing his beard during the opening round of the playoffs and has high hopes that his lush, red whiskers can fill in nicely by the time the cup is awarded. Back for its second year is a women's division, and Judy, the librarian/bartender, would like to remind everyone to let potential participants choose for themselves whether or not to enter, encouraging a participant with statements like, "You are a shoo-in, Gladys," or "You're already halfway there," can be taken several different ways. Judy wants to avoid the trouble that beset the contest last year when several area ladies stormed out of the library, stayed away for several months, and the sale of hair removal wax went up 5,000%. The contest runs through the end of the month. Thank you.
It's back. Cody did it.
I think that's got it.
Do you know how they hijacked your signal?
I really don't, no. I could come up with a couple methods of doing it myself, but something's telling me these beings are more advanced.
I believe you're right. What now?
We should go knocking on doors.
Actually...
We really should go knocking on doors, Doctor.
Yes, but I need to remain here.
Why?
I can hear them, Cody. I can hear them over the air. I think if I remain in sight of the lake, I can keep track of them. I'm going up to the roof.
Well, you do what you think is best. But don't blame me if Sam gets mad.
I won't. It's getting bigger.
Yes, it is.
Major, you startled me.
Oh, I'm sorry, old friend.
What are you doing here?
Hiding, I suppose. Listening. I can hear them, you know.
You said, yes.
Am I addressing Dr. Graves? Or the erstwhile Peggy?
Mostly Dr. Graves. Peggy is distracted.
Then, what does Dr. Graves make of all this?
I think the evacuation plan might be our only hope. If we can deny these beings what they need, their little invasion may end right here.
And if we don't?
You can hear them. What do you think?
I think they would do what any escaped convict would do. Go to ground and disappear, and eventually commit crimes.
That is reasonable. But in the meantime, there's something graver to consider.
What's that?
To move out into our world, they would need to possess, well, practically everyone. That means everyone would leave town.
Everyone?
Peggy said approximately 1,000 souls escaped on that meteorite. How many people live in town?
199.
Exactly. If every man, woman, and child were scooped up, the town would empty out. Icebox would be a ghost town. What is it?
It's interesting. A group of criminals wanting out, but there aren't enough rides for everyone. It seems like that might be to our advantage.
Indeed, it might be. You are Major Rideau.
You know I am.
I'm sorry, it is I, the one called Peggy. Your conversation with Major interested me just now.
You can jump back and forth like that?
I try not to. It's a tremendous strain on him.
Oh, very thoughtful.
You think the prisoners will end up fighting over the chance to possess a body?
Prisoners fight over everything. There's never enough in prison, never enough food, privacy, reading material, never enough. It just follows that they will fight.
Limited resources. I had not thought of that. Oh, that's brilliant, Major. That just may be the thing we need.
Grandpa?
Here, son, in the ballroom.
Is everyone back?
Everyone but Sam.
He was checking on a couple more houses over on Ocean.
Okay.
Are you all right, Cody?
Yeah. Well, why shouldn't I be?
We were out knocking on doors and started seeing things.
What things?
I'd rather not go into that.
Oh, they say the aliens have the ability to force hallucinations.
And we were worried that you saw some, too.
Me? No, I'm fine. Where's Dr. Graves?
Oh, he went with Sam.
Okay, well, what are we supposed to do?
We're supposed to leave town.
Just like that?
Oh, it's the best thing, son. Any human left in town when that green whatever it is reaches us could be taken.
Can you still understand them, Grandma?
Oh, yes, and they're getting excited, thrilled. They think their plan is working. We have to make sure it doesn't by getting out of town now.
Okay, I see that. My car?
It's the only one big enough for all of us, and I want to stick together.
Me too.
Thank you.
Now, everyone has a bag, right? Like we agreed.
I have mine.
I left mine by the door.
Cody?
In the car. JJ?
What is it?
We probably need to... We need to do something.
We are. We're getting out.
No, I mean about the station. The prisoners have hijacked our signal more than once. Sam said we should deny them their comm system.
Well, it's sounding fine now.
Yeah, but they could hijack it again, and we probably shouldn't take that chance.
What do you mean?
JJ, we shouldn't leave the station running when we go.
You mean go off the air?
Power down. Transmitter, computers, all of it. We really should take a sledgehammer to the whole lot, but I don't think I have the heart.
Go off the air during an emergency?
Yes.
Oh, it wets my eyes to hear you say it, son, but you're right. This is one time when radio isn't the solution. It's part of the problem.
There's another solution.
What?
One person stays, keeps the signal on the air, and makes sure it's our signal.
Sam said we can't keep anyone in town.
One body's not going to make that much of a difference. Besides, I can wait until the last person is gone, then make a run for it.
Wait, you?
You?
You, JJ?
Well, don't everyone act surprised.
Why the heck not?
JJ!
I know I'm not the bravest guy.
Nor the smartest. Why do you want to do this? It makes a lot more sense if Cody were to stay. He's the engineer. He could keep us on the air longer.
No.
Why?
I can keep us on the air. Cody showed me a reset procedure that seems to kick the hijackers off pretty consistently.
Is this a captain going down with his ship thing?
What if it is?
Oh, there are so many things wrong with that.
Look, I know that coward is kind of my go-to move for most things, but this is different. This is our signal. Can't have them hijacking our signal. Not again.
Which is all the more reason to talk to Cody about... Wait, where's Cody?
What?
Where'd he go?
Never even saw him move. What the heck was that about?
There he is, there, in the lobby.
Cody!
What did he think he was doing?
Son? Cody, what's wrong?
It's back.
What is it?
That fog, that's the same fog we saw before.
Only that it was red. This fog is green.
Oh, man, must be in beta.
Sorry, I just saw...
What's it all mean? Tell me.
Oh, it never means anything good.
Look!
Is that... That's Jennifer.
The girl?
Yes.
I thought she'd passed on.
Then it shouldn't really surprise you that we're seeing her again.
Cody!
He's making a run.
Stop. Stop, son. You can't.
Get back.
But he's going out there.
It's too late, too late.
It just swallowed him up.
Look, the fog. It's breaking up.
Cody? Where is he?
He's gone. They got what they came for. They got him.
There's a lot going on here in Icebox, Minnesota, so it's time to relax and forget it all, or at least try to, with, of course, our play of the day. And this time, it's a great show. It was recorded live at Bacchus Auditorium, just over there in International Falls, and it's all about the history of our national park. It's Williamson and Juliet, with apologies to William Shakespeare, here on Radio Icebox Playhouse.
Sir and kind madam, on this evening so bright, I call you to listen to a young couple's plight. The tale, it's familiar, of romance and woe, recast in our village, famed for ice, sleet, and snow. Retreat with me now in the dim mists of time to an era long past out of memory and mind. Our tale, it takes place in the decade of disco. A long ago time where we promise that we'll go to keep you engaged neath this low setting sun with the tale of Juliet and her boy, Williamson. Juliet is a maiden of our own Rainy Lake. For four generations, her family held stake on an island so beautiful, all who saw it would stay as close was in that house on Black Bay. The family crest bore the name Montague, and Juliet was the star that all the world knew was her father's favorite, the apple of his eye. For her to the ends of this earth he would fly. But in the days of our tale, Rainy Lake, it was changing. The feds had moved in, a great park in the making. Of the team of stout rangers charged with forming the park, one stood above the others in kind strength of heart. By name, he was Williamson, a lad come from Boulder, but his love for the Northland was as wide as his shoulders. For Williamson, called Joey, his love was quick set for the lake and the land and the girl, Juliet. The young couple's love was forbidden stuff, but of my talk, we've heard more than enough. Let us go now to the woods on Black Bay's near side, where a fist fight is brewing, stoked by Montague pride. Montague and his sons are standing their ground against the government man, Capper, with his best men around. It's a scene from a movie. Raw anger is bearing. Only instead of a gunfight, there's just lots of staring. A man in park khaki takes a step toward his foe. He's the head ranger, Capper. And his foe, Papa Moe.
Montague?
Hello, Mr. Capper. Nice day.
You out for a walk?
Maybe. Free country, isn't it? At least it was.
You realize, of course, this is government property.
Which means it belongs to the people, and the people is us.
Oh, smart, aren't you?
Why don't you explain it to us, government man?
I think it's a little bit of a coincidence that on the day we're expecting surveyors, you and your boys come all the way across the lake to take a walk on the side of the new visitor center.
Oh, that was gonna be here?
You were at the town meeting. I saw you there. You know full well this is where the visitor center is going to be.
Sir?
What is it, Williamson?
Maybe Mr. Montague here has some input he'd like to share.
What?
Sure, son. We got some input. How about you build your visitor center, about 50 yards that way?
Because that would put it in the middle of the lake?
Williamson, stand down. I'll handle this.
Yes, sir.
Montague, we have work to do, and I don't have time for your nonsense. State your business, or get back in your boats and leave.
My business is none of your business. Even if this is government land, now I still have the right to walk on it.
Disrupting this project is a federal offense.
Your whole darn park is an offense.
Sir?
You people are too ignorant to realize what you're getting.
We're getting? A whole lot of rules and regulations about when to hunt and fish. That's all we're getting.
Sir.
And do you know, how do you know some eastern developer isn't going to come in here and put up condos or a factory? If we build this park, this land will stay the way it is forever.
Except there won't be people living on it.
I should arrest you on the spot for general stupidity.
Sir.
Ain't that just the way? Give a man a uniform and a badge and he thinks he can make up the law.
What makes you think?
Sir.
Like, what is it, Williamson?
Sir, the surveyors are here. We need to get to work.
As soon as I'm
we
done...
Only we only have this team for a day, sir.
Fine. Montague, have you said your piece?
Judging from the steam coming out your ears, yeah, I got what I came for.
Then I've got to get to work. Williamson, make sure these gentlemen do nothing to disrupt the surveyors.
Yes, sir.
And check their boat to make sure the registration's up to date.
You better watch that boss of yours, boy. That fellow's got a hot head.
Well, sir, it's been a warm summer. Hotheads all around.
It is a bit warm, isn't it? I think the boys and I will head out to the middle and cool off.
Sounds like a good idea. Wish I could join you.
Oh, I bet you do.
The situation is bleak. We clearly can see the town in an uproar over the park's chance to be. It's 6 hours later, and off down the shore, a young girl emerges, looking carefully for any sign of her beau, the boy of her heart, for Juliet and Joey will now have their part.
Joey? Joe, are you here? Oh, Joey!
Careful, you'll bowl me over.
I heard what happened. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
Papa and my brother shouldn't have done that.
Well, Ranger Capper did his part to make it interesting. I don't know how that guy got so high up in the park surface with a temper like that.
They aren't going to arrest Papa, are they?
Of course not. Who told you that?
It's all anybody talked about all afternoon. They said your boss threatened to arrest him.
Well, he did, sort of. But he doesn't really have the power. If things get too bad, our orders are to call the sheriff. We're not really equipped to go around arresting people. And with all this trouble over the park...
Yeah.
Wait, have you been crying?
No.
You have. What is it, Julie? You can tell me.
I just don't see a way out, that's all.
What do you mean?
If you build the park, we'll lose our home.
You'll be paid for the land and the buildings. You can build somewhere else.
My great-grandfather built the original cabin. We can never replace that.
Well, it's a historic homestead. I think the plan now is for saving the buildings.
So strangers can run through them, carving their names in the logs and leaving garbage everywhere?
Julie, you
know... I know. I'm being difficult.
No, I understand.
And it's not just the homestead. It's that I don't see any way out. If you build the park, we lose that. And if you don't build the park, then I lose you.
I'll never leave you.
But you'll go someplace else. Maybe some hot desert, or worse, a city.
We don't have that many urban parks, and, well, you could always come with me.
Joe.
I know.
How can it possibly work out?
Well, I know a good way to start. We should tell your father.
No.
Julie, we have to, sooner or later.
I'm not ready.
But we can't go on like this, meeting in secret, stealing a few minutes here and there. I'm gonna go crazy.
Oh, just a little while longer.
You have to tell your family.
And you have to tell your boss. How's that coming, by the way?
Do you know what would happen to us if Capper found out? He'd have me transferred for sure.
Can he do that?
I've been in the service for less than a year. They can pretty much send me anywhere they want.
I don't see how this could work out.
We'll make it work out. We have to.
What's wrong?
Nothing. There's nothing wrong.
Is there something you want to tell me?
Just be careful.
Of course. Tomorrow night, right here?
I'll be there as soon as I can.
Tomorrow night.
So, there are our lovers, a secretive pair. Their love is forbidden, their lives full of snares. But poor, poor Juliet does not yet know just how bad things have gotten for the House Montego. It's a day later now in the head ranger's quarters where nervous young Joey is receiving his orders.
Williamson, do you know why you're here?
To oversee the creation of the park, sir?
Of course, to oversee the creation of the park, but I meant why you're here today.
No, sir.
Today's the day, Williamson. We're going to get rid of that Montague mob.
Sir?
The approval for their eviction came through.
Park Service policy frowns on using the word eviction, sir. After all, it is their land.
And that's why you're here.
I don't understand.
Well, you seem to have a certain way with these people, like touch. So I'd like you to take point on the operation this afternoon.
Take point?
Yes, and we need the sheriff, of course, and he plans on having a couple of deputies there just in case. But I'd like all this to happen with as little fuss as possible. Having you speak for us will keep things calm.
It will?
Yeah. That old goat Montague doesn't seem to like me for some reason.
Sir, I'd just as soon not do this.
Don't be ridiculous. This is a difficult situation, and we need every advantage we have. You seem to be able to talk to these yokels, so that's what I want you to do.
In the tightest of spots, our Joey now sat, his true love's family he was supposed to knock flat into a homeless abyss filled with nothing but trouble. So let us go to the next scene on the double.
Hello, Mr. Montague.
Oh, quite a party you fellows have today. Is that the sheriff I see back there?
Yes, he decided to hang back for now.
Is that a veiled threat, son?
No, sir.
Papa?
Oh, go back in the house, Juliet.
What are they doing?
Just what we expected them to do.
Oh, no.
Sir, it's my duty to inform you that the United States Park Service requires this land and property under the laws of eminent domain.
Uh-huh.
You will be fully compensated for your loss, of course, but we will require you to leave.
Yeah, meaning now, son?
Well, sir, that part's not exactly clear. You'll be able to move properly, of course. We'll even pay for a truck and a few days' lodging at a local hotel until you find a place to stay.
Oh, fine. I picked the Palmer House in Chicago.
Well, I'm not sure we can go that far.
Of course not. What you mean is to shove us all into one tiny room for a week, after which we're tossed out in the street. Why don't you just march over there with the other stormtroopers and do your job the way your boss wants?
Papa.
Oh, I told you to go back into the house. I'd rather you not see this.
This doesn't have to become ugly, sir.
What's the holdup, Williamson?
Your boss has no problem with ugly. Just look at him.
Just a few more minutes, sir.
You had a few minutes. Now let's move this thing along.
Yeah, I bet this is like Christmas for you, isn't it, Capper?
No, you have no idea. Now, I've played this nice, but I'm through playing. I want you and your people out of here. Now.
Yeah, I kind of figured that's the way it was. Sent this kid up here to butter us up, and the hammer comes down. Well, sir, you're not the only one who can buy a hammer.
Papa!
Sir, there's no reason for that gun.
Oh, sure there is. The sheriff's deputies have them. Why can't I?
You're under arrest, Montague.
Really, what's the charge?
Threatening a public officer.
I haven't threatened nobody. I just picked up my shotgun.
Sir, you need to stop and think.
Did I just see you step between me and your boss, son? Oh, that's not a smart place to be.
Joey, please.
So why don't you folks... Wait, what did you call him, Julie?
I'm sure if we just relax and calm down, this is going to go much smoother.
Smooth or bumpy, it's going to go now.
That's it.
Papa, no!
They're trespassing on my land, and I have a right to defend it.
But you're aiming at Joey.
And when exactly did you start calling the Rangers by their first names?
Sir, you need to calm down.
Oh, I'd move if I were you, son.
I'm not going to do that, sir.
Papa, I...
I'd rather not shoot two Rangers today, but I will if I have to.
Papa, no!
What? Juliet, get out of there!
Juliet, no.
I won't let him hurt you.
Quit hugging him and get out of the way. Wait, hugging him?
Father, you put that gun down this instant.
What?
His name is Joey, and I love him. And if you shoot him, you're going to have to shoot me, too.
You what?
Papa, your gun.
Just explain what you meant by that.
Sir, you're pointing your weapon right at your own daughter. Please.
There.
Thank you.
Excellent job, Williamson. You handled this very well.
What did you say?
Sheriff, you can bring the truck around. We won't be having any trouble now. Ranger Williamson saw to that.
Why, you low-down skunk of a bureaucrat? Did you order him to romance my daughter?
No, sir. It's not like that at all.
What if I did? What are you going to do about it?
Come here, Julie.
Daddy, no.
Get away from him.
Just step back, Williamson.
But, sir, that...
That's an order. Step back to the sheriff's line.
You get off my property right now, or I'll swear I'll start shooting.
That's all right. That's all right. We'll back off.
Oh, I see that you do.
Come on. Brilliant move, by the way.
Sir?
Getting the girl on our side. We'll just sit back and let her work on her old man for a while. I didn't think you had it in you, Williamson. You are one cold character.
Things look their darkest for our lovebird pair. Their secret is out. They've no cards to spare. Juliet, in big trouble, is confined to her room, her father a-muttering about the Rangers' sure doom. But in a moment of bravery, fueled with love's desperation, Juliet forms a plan from an hour's rumination. She slips out her window and off into the wood, her goal, a small cabin miles away on foot. And presently, after an hour or more, she comes to a stop at the rough-hewn pine door of one Jack Pine Marie, a crazy old hermit, and a new face for our story, though we've yet to determine if she'll help Juliet or leave her lovesick, for crazy old hermits are hard to predict. And what plan has Juliet for this witch of the woods? Let us stop and listen for a knock and some words.
Marie, Marie, it's Juliet Montague. Are you home?
Oh, little Juliet, why you come to visit old Jacqueline Marie's door, eh? You don't visit no more.
I'm sorry, Marie. I always mean to, but
oh,
I...
Oh, it is all right, it is. A woman like me living off in the bush, she don't expect visitors or want them. Except for you, ma bichette. Juliet is always welcome. Come in, come in.
Thank you, Marie. You're always so kind.
Now you tell me what's troubling you, child.
Troubling me?
Another thing about living in the bush. You know if someone bothered to come to see you, they troubled. Is it a man?
Well, sort of.
Oh, it is always sort of a man. If you are looking for a love potion, they don't exist. That's only in the cinema, no?
It's not like that, Marie. The government's forcing us off our land, or trying to, anyways.
This news has come to Marie. I know of it.
Father's fighting them. He had his gun out today and everything.
Oh, mon Dieu.
And they were ready to move us out of our cabin right then. They had the sheriff and everything. And then things got worse.
How worse?
Well, there's this park ranger.
Aha, he is the boy you come to see me about?
Yes.
I see.
And Papa was going to shoot him, so I rushed to stop it. And now Papa thinks the government made him romance me to get us off our land. And I'm forbidden to see him. And his boss thinks... seems to think that he romanced me for the same reason.
But did he?
Did he what? Oh, Marie, no.
Are you sure? These government men are very tricky.
Marie!
All right, all right, all right. I had to see your eyes to know for sure. You know he loves you.
Like I know the sun comes up tomorrow. He's from Colorado, and he loves the Northland, and he loves me. I know it in my heart.
Little Juliet. Well, we all fall for the rat sooner or later.
Hurry, ew.
Oh, I'm sorry, little one. My tongue is a hazard of living alone for so long. So what can Marie do for you about this thorny problem?
I don't know. You've always given such good advice, and you always seem to know what to do, and I didn't know where else to turn.
Well, there is an idea, of course.
There is?
Oh, ma bichette. Where love is concerned, there is always an idea. But before we begin, I have to know if you will follow my advice to the letter.
Of course, anything.
Because I do not know if I can give you this boy and keep your father's pride intact.
Oh, I was hoping I wouldn't have to choose.
No, maybe you won, maybe you won. But there's no sense pretending it would be easy. You must follow what I say or I will not put my nose in. And it will not be easy for you.
I have to have a Marie.
I know.
I'll do it.
The die, she is cast. Now, here is what we do.
What's Marie's plan? What trouble could she snuff? I'm not sure myself, but we'll know soon enough. For it's now a day later, and locale is the differences. Our scene has shifted to the park ranger offices, where Capper the Ranger and Joey, the heartsick, go over their plans with a change coming quite quick. For old Papa Mo, with blood in his eyes, is seconds from the office of the men he despises.
Well, the construction permit should be coming through any day, and you have those copies of the environmental impact statements?
On your desk, sir.
Good, good. Now, would you please tell me what is wrong?
Sir?
You've been moping around here all morning. Are you sick?
No, sir.
Then it's that girl, isn't it? Well?
Permission to speak freely, sir?
Granted, provisionally.
You're an ass.
I beg your pardon?
You had the building, you practically had those people on the move, and you went out of your way to say those things about Juliet and me.
I don't recall saying anything untoward.
You blared out that I'd seduced her as a part of a plot to get their land.
I never suggested it was a plot. Such a thing would have been highly illegal and unethical.
Then why did you say those things?
I figured you'd done it on your own, taken some initiative.
Oh, for the love of...
I would have had to put a mild reprimand in your record, but it was nothing to worry about.
Has it occurred to you that I actually do love her?
You do? Then why are you trying to force her family off their land?
What?
Oh, calm down, calm down. You did your job, that's all anyone can ask, and it's all over now. We'll get the park started, then get out of this godforsaken wilderness.
I don't know if I want to leave, sir.
Well, then stay. You did a good job here. I'll put in a good performance review. You should have your pick of assignments. Where do you want to go?
I don't know. Where do you want to go, sir?
Me? I'm bucking for a nice desk job back in D.C.
You don't want to work in the field anymore?
Of course not. Do you think I joined the park service to traipse around in the woods?
Pepper?
What? How did he get in here?
You low-down skunk-mouth lying son of a...
You can't come in here, Montague. I can have you arrested.
What have you done to my daughter?
What? What's wrong with Juliet?
Oh, I'll tell you what. Look at this.
I told you once you can't come in here.
Oh, quiet, you big armadillo. No one's listening to you.
Oh, my gosh.
What did he call me?
I found that note on her dresser. Her graduation suitcase is missing, and most of her clothes are gone.
What exactly is it about, Williamson?
It's a note from Juliet, sir. She says she can't stand what's happening, and she's leaving Rainy Lake forever. She says she can't... She'd rather be a waitress in Minneapolis than have to see the people she loves fight this way.
Well, that sounds like a very sensible solution.
Sensible solution? She's gonna leave Rainy Lake for the cities! Oh, it's a face worse than death.
Don't exaggerate. I always knew that girl was the only one of yours that had a brain in her head.
Why, you... Oh,
you hit me. Williamson, you saw it. This man hit me.
Not only because you deserved it, you despicable parasite.
I'm going to have you up on charges. I'm going to see you behind bars. Williamson saw it. He's a witness.
I'm sorry, sir. I wasn't paying attention.
What?
And I know you've been working long hours. Perhaps you fell asleep at your desk and fell.
What? I'll have you up on charges. I'll see you drummed out of the service.
Yes, sir, but not just yet. Mr. Montague?
Yes, son?
It says here Juliet is leaving on the 11:15 flight. If we hurry, we can just make it to the airport.
You're right. Come on, we'll take my truck. I know a shortcut.
So Montague and our Joey, two unlikely friends, speed toward the airport where Juliet depends on the nonstop flight toward the distant Twin Cities. To solve all our problems, though, more is the pity... for Juliet has pledged to leave for all time Rainy Lake, her father, and the love of her life. So the pickup speeds onward, and right there behind her, a ranger named Capper follows, brimming with anger. But soft, they've arrived. In the terminal they go. Are they late? Is the plane there? Let's listen to know.
Where are they? I don't see them.
I knew we should have driven out onto the runway. I know a shortcut.
Excuse me, can you tell me if the 11:15 to Minneapolis... Never mind.
Williamson, stay right there. And Montague, you're under arrest.
I don't believe it. I don't believe she'd ever leave.
Oh, her mom was the same way. Stubborn.
Williamson, make sure this man stays where he is. I'm going to get the phone and call the sheriff.
No, sir.
What did you say to me?
I'm done with the park service, sir. I resign.
What is wrong with you?
None of it matters. My job, the park, none of it matters without her. I'm going to go find her if it's the last thing I do.
Well, I hate to lose her, but as long as you testify, you can do whatever you want.
No.
What?
I said no, you little weasel.
What? But he hit me!
And you deserved it. Oh. And as my last act on active duty, I'm reporting your conduct to the service. Maybe creating a national park is the right thing for Rainy Lake, but the way you've been treating these people is inexcusable. I'm ashamed to wear the same uniform as you.
Son, how would you like a ride to my cabin? We'll pack up and go find that girl.
No, sir, I'm sorry. I'll go after Juliet, but I'll never set foot near Rainy Lake again. Not even set eyes on it. If she's going to live without it, then so am I.
So the young ranger turned and walked out the door. Two men watch him, one sad and one sore. But that ranger named Joey meant what he said and hiked straight back to his quarters to pack up his bed. The lake that he loved was right out the door, but Joe Williamson had pledged to look nevermore. So packed he in silence, his sadness bore heavy, but turned he did not toward stream, dam, or levee. And as Joey tied closed his green bag of canvas, a knock came at the door, and all he could say was...
Come in.
You there? You the park ranger they call Joey Williamson?
Yes, ma'am.
Why you no look at me, son? It's rude to keep your back.
I'm sorry, ma'am. It's just you're standing in an open doorway, and there's nothing I want to see behind you.
Behind me? All day is this lake behind me?
Yes, ma'am.
You don't like Rainy Lake?
I love Rainy Lake, but I won't look at it again until... Well, let's just say I'm keeping a promise.
I see. Well, I walk around so you can see me.
Whoa!
Why, you gasp.
No reason.
Oh, I forget. I must look afraid. I have not washed my hair this month. I am called Jacques Paimery. You have heard of me.
Yes, ma'am. You've got a cabin in Grid 45 Alpha.
Oh, I know not from Grid, but if that is 2 miles up Gold Rush Creek, that is me. It's true, you are kicking the Montagues off their land.
The park services, yes.
So you'll be coming for me soon, eh?
Well, to be honest, ma'am, we're leaving that for last. The head ranger here is a little frightened of you.
No, I won't say that is a bad thing. So, tell me why you turn your back on such a thing as our lake.
Well, I hate to be the one to inform you, ma'am, but Juliet has left.
Has she?
Yes, gone to the cities to become a waitress.
Oh, a fate worse than that.
Yes, and it was all my fault. I let my feelings for her get mixed up with work here, and now she thinks I did it on purpose. And maybe, if I can find her, we can return to the way we were. But first, I have to give up this land like she did. If she can do it, I can.
I think I see. Come with me.
What? Where are you taking me?
There's something you need to see down here by the lake.
But I explained, I can't go near the lake.
You say you cannot look at the lake. Close your eyes. Mary will guide you like the blind, no?
Well, all right.
I put my arm around your shoulder and... Ooh, I see where Juliet sees in you.
Ma'am?
Oh, never mind. Come with me, puppet. Come down here. And there, stop.
All right.
Now tell me again what you say about the lake.
Well, it's the most beautiful place I've ever seen. And the fact that Juliet lived on it made it heaven on earth. She gave that all up for her... Her family, her life, this place, everything. The least I can do is the same.
And this will get her back to you?
I don't know. That's all stuff I haven't worked out yet. But I know this much. I love her, and I'll give up anything for her. I don't want to leave Rainy Lake, but if she felt she had to leave, then I have to leave.
I see. You will never look upon it again.
Not until I get her back.
Well, in that case, open your eyes.
I told you I can't.
Mabiche, help him to see.
What? Juliet?
You can look at the lake all you want. Just kiss me first.
Oh, Juliet.
Oh, young love.
Juliet!
My father's coming.
Do you care?
Not really, but your boss is coming too.
I quit.
You what?
Juliet! Oh, I had a fit, girl. We went to the airport. We thought you'd gone forever. Why did you do that to me?
William said we need to talk.
It was Jack Pine Marie's idea, Papa, and I'm sorry.
Well, just as long as you're back. Let's get home.
No, Papa.
What?
Jack Pine Marie thought of the plan to see what Joey would do. He said he was the key to everything.
This is true.
And now that I know that he'll give up everything, I have the strength to leave, too.
What are you talking about?
I'll leave, Papa. I'll leave with him, and you'll never see me again.
Oh, Juliet, no.
And Mr. Capper, you know Joey is the best ranger. And he's the only one to talk sense into my father.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, yes, you do.
And if he were to leave now, you would have a very difficult time getting this park started. Both of you have been very stubborn and unreasonable, and it all stops now. It stops now, or you lose both of us.
Williamson, you can't go along with this.
Actually, sir, it makes a lot of sense. Under your leadership, this park is behind schedule.
Well, yeah, because of him.
No, sir, because of you. You have to work with the locals, help them to understand what a national park means, and not treat them like unwanted freeloaders that are just in your way. This land is theirs. We're just asking them to share it.
Julie, in a minute, I have an idea. You're going to ask us to leave our land.
Oh, Papa.
Sir, there are provisions to grandfather certain homesteads within a national park. Your family won't be able to stay on your island forever, but the transition can be nice and slow. That will give you time to find a nice piece of lakefront and build anew.
I don't know. What does he say about it?
Me? Well, I suppose there might be such provision.
You know there are, sir.
Fine, there are. Does this mean you're returning to the service, Williamson?
I said I wouldn't look on Rainy Lake again until Juliet was with me. Are you with me, Juliet?
Always.
Then Mr. Capper, Mr. Montague, we're back. Both of us, to see this thing through.
That's it. That's our story. A tale of light woe of a girl named Juliet and her Romeo named Joe. They settled together on Fair Rainy Lake to mitigate the battles they knew it would take to share nature's beauty in this snowy wonderland with people the world over who come, tent in hand, to see so much Northland so fair to the eye and make a meal or three of the wily walleye. So you too should come to see land oh so pure by a lake called Rainy in the park Voyageur.
This has been Williamson and Juliet. From the Icebox Radio Theater, a good cast is worth repeating.
Tom Pimenta as Montague.
Cody Boyer as Joey Williamson.
Autumn Silvers as Juliet Capulet.
Jeffrey Adams as Capper.
Vicki Olson as Jack Pine Marie. Jack Pine Marie.
Karen Schickel as the narrator.
We can go after him, can't we?
Go after him how? He stepped into the fog and disappeared.
Well, we can't just leave him.
What do you want to do, Major?
We could row out to the meteorite.
No.
Maybe the bomb could still activate. I think old Pierre has some frogman equipment. I could dive down and...
Major!
Dive down and...
We have to get out of here, JJ.
Yes.
Do you really, really feel you need to stay with the station?
I don't know. I suppose I could just shut it down.
Look, Fred and Val Pearson are leaving.
Yeah, I've seen people driving off all day.
It's working. They're evacuating.
Oh, doesn't matter.
What?
It doesn't make a damn bit of difference. Run or stay, these things, whatever they are, have already won.
Don't say that. We'll figure out something.
Oh, figure out what? Say we all run away, and the dome just keeps growing. What if it just keeps going until it takes over the falls and Fort Frances?
I think it's gotten slower.
What?
The dome. I think as it's gotten closer to town, its growth rate has decreased. You know, these aren't alien scientists with a world domination plan. They're prisoners, improvising. Maybe their dome only has a limited range.
You mean it could just fizzle out?
I bet that thing needs a power source. Maybe it gets weaker as it moves away.
You hear that, Major? It's going to work out. We just have to make our run for it and wait for them to drain their batteries.
You think so, huh?
Of course. I've waited my whole life for a situation where running away was the right move.
You're forgetting something, both of you.
What?
Well, let's say the dome slows down. Let's say it fizzles out completely and we're all safe.
Yes, let's say that. I like saying that.
What happens to Cody?
Oh, right.
And this girl of his, for that matter, what happens to her? If these, whatever they are, creatures figure a way to get people into their rock world, how do we get them out?
Well, I don't know, but I think we need to worry about that later, don't we?
No, I don't. I think this is our only chance to work the whole thing out. We run now, we lose Cody forever, and I'm not going to do that.
Major, you can't stay.
Except that I can, and I have a plan.
To do what?
Go get him. Come on, let's go to Cody's workshop.
You want to do what?
Go into the prison and get Cody.
Is that even possible?
I doubt it, and it's insane.
But theoretically possible, right?
I don't know. I suppose.
Wait a minute. Is it possible or not?
It's very difficult to say.
No, it isn't. All I need is your help in understanding the possession process, Peggy.
It can't be recreated the way you're suggesting. Electrical currents? It's ridiculous.
There has to be a mechanical way to move back and forth. They found it, didn't they?
Who found it?
The aliens, the whatever they are. You said some gypsy lady disappeared with a device.
Sure, but the device disappeared with her.
That means it's possible.
So you want to sneak into their jail?
Yes.
And find Cody?
That's right.
And how exactly do you expect to get back?
I'm still working on that.
Of course you are. No.
Sam,
there's an official state of an emergency here, and my first order of business is to forbid any crazy rescue missions.
Fine. This isn't a crazy rescue mission.
Then all rescue missions, period.
You can't stop me.
I can, and I just did. There is nothing you can say to convince me otherwise.
Then maybe there's something I can say.
Duh!
Jennifer!
You... What?
I'm sorry for the theatrical entrance. JJ, please. I know you must be shocked.
Again?
What the hell is this now?
I'm sorry, Chief. I'm going to have to take over your operation.
Again?
What do you mean, again? Has she done this before?
Only every time I think I've figured out things. I'm sorry, but weren't you dead?
Only mostly dead.
Of course. How silly of me.
It was necessary for the aliens to believe I was no more use to them.
You were there? You went to the rock?
Yes, and I know how to get back.
Hot darn! I knew it!
I think I have the information Major needs to build a device, but it won't be pleasant, moving back or forth.
This is impossible. There is no way you could have traveled back and forth.
Dr. Graves, you're looking complicated.
Oh, he's been possessed by an alien guard from the prison.
Right. Peggy, isn't it?
You knew?
When we first took up monitoring the meteorite, Peggy made herself known to us. But the relationship was never good. We had our differences.
Your government can be very difficult to work with sometimes.
That's common knowledge.
But up until now, they had not tried to interfere.
Up until now, we couldn't.
You bureaucrats can work out your differences later. Right now, I've got a grandson to rescue. How do we do it?
We don't. I do.
No, that's not happening. I'm going to the rock.
I'm going too.
Me too.
What?
Don't act so surprised.
No one is going anywhere except out of town.
Chief, Sam, what if I told you we could end this, everything, today?
Are you suggesting a permanent solution?
Meaning what?
I believe the bomb Dr. Graves and Major built can still be salvaged. Only I think I know how to alter it so that when it goes off, the rift between dimensions will be sealed, and the meteorite will become a harmless, inert rock.
You're wrong.
No. When you see my calculations, I'm sure...
No, I mean, you're wrong about going in there alone. You can't succeed by yourself.
What?
You were there? You went to the carnival?
Of course.
Then you know what it's like. You know what those people will do to escape. It's impossible to do this alone. It will be difficult enough to do with our little company. But at least then we have a chance.
Are you suggesting everyone go in there?
All of us. All of us must go.
It will be dangerous.
It's dangerous now. Besides, we already have 3 volunteers.
All right. Fine.
Sam, maybe you should stay here.
To guard who? There's no one left in town. No, I'm coming with you.
That's 6. It might just be enough.
I don't think...
Do you want Cody back or not?
All right. We'll all go.
And you believe your technology can get us there?
With Major's help, I know it will. But everyone understands the risks, right? There's no way to guarantee that we'll all come back.
I understand.
Of course.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, then. Listen carefully. Here's what we need to do.
This has been Radio Icebox, Season 1, Episode 17, Old Friends. Starring Ayla McIntosh as Abby, Cody Boyer as Cody, Scotta Turner played Jennifer, and Jeffrey Adams was JJ. Our guest stars featured James Yunt as Sam, Tom Bement as Grandpa, and Douglas Screef as Dr. Graves. Direction and post-production by Jeffrey Adams. Some sound effects from the Freesound Project at freesound.org. The song this week was Composition No. 2 from Roma Ransom. Learn more about them and support their music by searching for Roma Ransom at bandcamp.com. The Radio Icebox Playhouse theme song is Monkeys Spinning Monkeys by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. The radio play was Williamson and Juliet by Jeffrey Adams, originally recorded before a live audience by the Icebox Radio Theater in 2013. Radio Icebox Season 1 is made possible in part by the voters of Minnesota through a grant from the Arrowhead Regional Arts Council, thanks to appropriations from the Minnesota State Legislature's General and Arts and Cultural Heritage Funds.